We've all received a copy of that procedure. No party has the absolute right to cross-examine any other party. The hearing shall take the form of a discussion led by the authority, and cross-examination shall not be permitted unless the authority considers that it is required for it to properly determine the representations, applications or notice. An equal maximum period of time will be given to the parties in which to present their case and provide any further information considered relevant to the application or to the promotion of the licensing objectives. Persons speaking can amplify their original representations. However, any new evidence that has not formed part of their representation may not be taken into account. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Right, the running order today, I'll explain the running order briefly for you. The licensing officer will present his case, and the applicant will present his case. I understand I may call you Damien Phillips, is that correct?
Yes,
and you'll be presenting the case to the applicant, is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you very much. The responsible authorities will present their case, then we then will be summing up, and that's in the first procedure. When that's done, the subcommittee will deliberate on that, and we will leave the room to do that and come back to the decision. Is that okay?
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen. Would the Shane actually, if you please present your case to the council.
Thank you.
Just for a point of absolute clarity and for the purposes of the minutes, this is an application to determine, this is a committee to determine an application for a premises licence under section 17 of the Licensing Act 2003 for the Noodle Pot, 91A St James's Street, Newport, Isle of Wight. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
As Ben said, this is an application for premises license. It was submitted on the 26th of July 2018 by Mr. Abdul Mia. The applicant seeks to permit the license for activity for the provision of late night refreshments between the hours of 2300 and 0500 all year round. During the consultation process, there was one representation received from the responsible authorities, this being the police, and three representations from other persons. Details of these can be found within pages B33 to B42 of the report. The applicant and police agreed to certain conditions, which can be found within pages B31 and B32 of the report. The main areas of the application which remain outstanding are the times of training and the times relating to the use of SIA staff. The police have suggested 01:30 hours Friday and Saturday and midnight Sunday to Thursday for cease of training, with SIA to be deployed from 2300 hours. The applicant has stated that he would be willing to reduce his trading times to 0330 hours and deploy SIA from 0100 hours. Following the report being circulated, one of the representations submitted by other persons, this being a highway authority, has now been resolved. Therefore, there are two representations that remain outstanding from other persons. Within these representations, concerns have been raised relating to trading times, disorder and nuisance, similar concerns that have been raised by the police. Subcommittee must consider whether they believe the concerns raised by the police and other persons to be likely outcomes of the grant of the licence, and if so, whether any modifications could be made to the operating schedule which could address these concerns. Should the subcommittee propose to modify the operating schedule, they must ensure that any conditions are appropriate and proportionate. The options available to the subcommittee in determining this application are to grant the licence as per application with conditions that have been agreed with the police, to grant the application along with any modifications or additional conditions the subcommittee deem necessary for the promotion of the licensing objectives, or to reject the application.
Thank you.
Coming to the terms which Mr. Beer put forward to the local authority regarding the security, I laid them out regarding the nuisance issues and moving people on first. Number one was lack of lighting on premises. Number two was non-coverage of the council CCTV. narrow paved area, closed to licensed premises, which is licensed from 130, which is the next door, of course, to the pot. A loading bay, which is in front of the premises, which takes effect up to 1800 hours, so that normal traffic can park. Other pedestrians needing to pass the property, the premises during the evening. And the key elements, of course, which we probably all agree on, is moving people along to get home as soon as possible. So I highlighted these to help the situation to get a clear understanding of what the police had said. Number one, I advised Tamir to basically, you know, it would be wise to put a complete light-up system on top of the building facing down onto the premises, onto the serving hatch, onto the dark area which is to the side, which connects to the pub. It's like a trading area. Number two, I said because that there's already a food chain which is under CCTV, and it's the only one in town which has, I believe, a 24-hour license in St. James Square, that it was said regarding the CCTV system, it wasn't covering that area and it was within a 50-metre range, 100 metres away. I suggested that four high-security cameras externally put onto the building, one which would show a shaded area, which of course wouldn't be shaded anymore due to downline floodlighting, one which would be mounted on the hatch so every customer's face is there as they're paying for their food, and two other cameras on the street eye level, left to right, right to left, so that you get a completely clear view of the front of the premises under the mat. The loading bay situation, coming back to number four. The close of the premises, the license premises, goes to 130, as we know. If you have one food outlet, which is in St. James Square, and there's been issues in the past since 2008 with assaults and nuisance, public nuisance, they only had one place they could eat, which was there. And over the period of time, we can say over the last 5 years, a lot of late night establishments have closed. It's been reduced greatly. And we now know that it's Scotland's Bridge, which is the main night spot. Now, with this in context, if you've got people who wish to come into town and know that there's one establishment for eating, then the gathering of people is greater in the square because there's only one outlet. And I propose if there's two outlets, you're actually going to be able to reduce the gathering in one place. And if all the licensed outlets now have been reduced by 50% because they're closed, surely this would help the situation to lessen the amount of people gathering in one area. There was a point regarding the narrow footpath and other pedestrians going past at night. Again, at night, we are talking the middle of the night, and it's already reduced. The only people who are going to be in town are those who are coming from alcohol establishments. And it's the matter of passing the premises. And I'm saying that me as a public person, if I was out at night, just like probably 90% of us, and there's a gathering of people, we haven't been out drinking ourselves, I would avoid that area myself and cross over the road. I'm not trying to justify it, I'm just basically saying it's common sense that you would cross over the road. Now, another system that I said to Mr. Mead that would be good is because he has a hell of a size menu. And I said, if it's this time of night, I would greatly reduce that to a quarter of his menu and only allow something like six different items on that menu that can be purchased. And the reason I said that to him, which I've had in practice myself in the past, is that it moves people on more quickly because there's less to choose from. So you say, this is the menu, this is what you can take. Those men, that specific menu that I had a chat about, would take 2 to 3 minutes to prepare because it is noodles, it's basic food. So to me, that would disperse the crowd quite quick. And it's on those grounds that I'm saying that, you know, it's a shame that this has to lose the license purely down to the issues that I've said, gathering and issues in the past of being one area. Also the fact that how many people would want to even go back into town from Copping Street up to the Adelaide. We know that buses, C sees them through their company. The taxi rank is right there. And the only other issue I can see is the fact of cars parking outside in the bay, which is the later date till 6 o'clock. But after that time, again, we come down to sort of common sense. If I was going to park in town, I certainly wouldn't be parking outside of a pub or a food establishment anyway, even if it meant I'd have to take 10 minutes and walk back into town. You just wouldn't do that. And on those grounds, I'm just saying that it's a shame that, you know, that it's been considered that it would be a bit of an area to cause a bit of a public nuisance, especially that it's still part of town, but it's in reach of the other places. The pub next door is open till 1:30 a.m. People from that pub, if they live on the opposite side of the New York lot, they would still go into town if they wish to eat. They're still going to take that the kiosk to get food. So if it's there on their doorstep, they're going to take that and move on quite quickly, of course. So I ask this from you that, you know, that maybe there is room for a trial period that can be given to the New York lot to see how this progresses over a 6-month period. We are now into a quiet stage every year. If the trial period was given way too, and perhaps to the end of Easter of next year, that gives across the board of pedestrians which are coming on holiday during those times a quiet period to get a balance. And on those grounds, Mr. Mayor would have to do his utmost best to make sure that everything is in place that satisfies the police, the main body that way, and yourselves. And that's the case that I put forward. Thank you.
Thank you again, Mark Phillips. Councillor Stewart and the Council, have you had any questions?
No questions, Mr. Burns. Thank you for that very lucid and turn the microphone. Thank you for that lucid and logical statement. I think that certainly outlines the applicant's point of view. And clearly from what you're saying, you're a reasonable person. I think what you're hoping perhaps is that everyone else in the area will behave as a reasonable person. Subject to that, I've got no other questions at this moment.
Thank you, and again, thank you very much for your presentation. I just have one thing that I'd like to clarify just at this point. You mentioned about having 4 high security cameras. How would these actually be monitored? Would they be...
Yeah.
Yes, could Mr. Garth address that? Would it be active?
Well, thank you, Chairman. I was going to make a comment in case it falls off from the question, so it's a good point as any for me to interrupt.
Okay.
And I'll look both at the applicants and my colleagues at licensing on this point. There were some representations made in relation to the CCTV, which I'm sure members will be grateful to hear, and in relation to the narrow pavements. In relation to the CCTV footage, I draw members' attention to page B32 of the report, where the applicant has agreed a CCTV system, a condition in relation to the CCTV system, with the police, so that is something that has and will be addressed between the parties. And also note the submission to the licensing authority at the start that the representation made by the Homes Authority in relation to the narrow pavements has now been resolved. That's the case, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
the case, Ben. And also on page B31, there is a condition which Mr. Mayor and police have agreed, which is an appropriate queuing system in order to address the narrowness of that area as well.
Yeah, very grateful. So I hopefully that helps with the question. I'm grateful for those submissions.
Is that clarifying your answer?
Thank you. That's
are there any other questions?
No. This was at this time. Thank you.
The responsible authorities. PC, appears to you to take your case, please.
Yes, of course.
Could we just ask you to put the microphone on? Thank you.
Yes, just about, that's it. They're all
well, thank you very much indeed. Actually, there's some notes to go through. Hopefully you all had a chance to read through the police representation and supporting documents provided by PC Bradley. Unfortunately, Chris Bradley is on holiday, as you're probably aware, he's abroad, so he's asked me to come along today to present the police position. I don't intend to go through the police report word by word, but we'll touch upon some of the key points in it. I think the good news, having read through all the documentation and spoken to Chris Bradley and Chris on the site, I think the good news is that prior engagement on this matter between Police Bradley and Chris Amir has resulted in each position now being reasonably close, but fortunately not agreed. There have been, as said, there has been agreement on some conditions. However, the position regarding the term of an hour and the security staff being present for what times has not yet been agreed, hence why we're here today. Again, as has been stated, police are suggesting a 1:30 a.m. weekend term of an hour for operating, and the use of security staff from 11 o'clock in the evening until customers have gone away from the premises. We believe that would be an acceptable compromise. Mr. Mia is suggesting that a 3:30 a.m. term of hour and SIA staff present, but from midnight, not 11 o'clock, would be acceptable, which perhaps moves things on a little from the original application request of a 5 a.m. term of hour for selling coffee and drink. That said, I would stress that it's not a simple case of trying to find a middle ground between those two positions. It is a case of finding a safe outcome that supports the licensing objectives and is the right fit for Newport Town. I think it's probably important to mention nighttime economy areas, both in general and in Newport Town. As we'll probably all know, nighttime economy areas are essentially in towns and cities that have numerous late night drinking facilities, pubs, clubs, bars, etc. All designated nighttime economy areas, areas of police designated nighttime economy areas, will have an infrastructure in place that is proportionate to the licensable activities taking place, or should be proportionate to the licensable activities taking place. Now, by infrastructure, I mean all of the supporting services, really, such things as dedicated, and I'll sort of underline that word, dedicated police officers, taxi services, taxi marshals, safe space medical units, welfare staff, SIA security staff, street pastors, council CCTV coverage, and active involvement of other responsible authorities. I spend most of my working weekends in Portsmouth, which is a very large nighttime company with several premises, closing businesses at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And such terminal hours require adequate infrastructures in place, and there is a significant infrastructure there. But as I said, this premises is looking for a 5 o'clock close, which does seem very late into the night. Certainly from a police perspective, it's no longer a case of the police being expected. Those years, I've been in the police for 28 years, and I remember the years when we were always in the town mopping up the problems. But it's no longer the case of the police being expected to be present to help, let's say, suppress the problems that licensed premises create. Premises need to have their own measures in place to manage the issues they create by being open. That's really important, the onus is on the premises. That's simply because the police do not have the resources to do this work for the premises, and surely it must fall upon each premises that seeks to financially gain from nighttime economy customers to spend some of that profit on measures to reduce risk. I'll say the police can't babysit premises at the expense of attending emergency calls elsewhere on the island. So our presence, the point I'm making is, our presence should not be assumed in your considerations today. You don't assume we will be there, because that doesn't happen anymore.
Yes, that's very valid point, actually.
Yes. And we also live in a, you know, currently we live in a world where, in addition to disorder, vulnerability needs to be a big consideration for late night licensed premises. People who drink into the early hours, up till 3 o'clock in the morning here, can become vulnerable. Vulnerable to violence, vulnerable to death, vulnerable to sexual exploitation. So that sort of infrastructure really does need to manage that. More licensed premises need to be contributing to that collective pot. Basically, the quicker that these people leave the night time from the area and head home, the safer they become. It's a simple sort of equation, really. When we look at Newport, key licensed premises, I believe that the three key premises are Fever and Booty Club, which sits down at Copman's Bridge, passing around 800. It's a club that closes at 3 o'clock in the morning. Hogshead, which is in High Street here, Southern Lettuce, High Street here, both of which close same kind of time, around 3 o'clock in the morning. Now, all of those key premises, there are other premises that form part of the nighttime economy, but all of those key late night premises sit kind of on the edge of town, and there's no desire to lure these end of night customers back into the centre of the town. There are taxi ranks and bus locations near to these key premises which aim to prevent people coming back into the town centre. So the very basic solution for minimising violence and vulnerability within the nighttime economy at Newport is to do all that's possible to encourage a speedy dispersal of people who will often be intoxicated away from the town, away from the town centre as quickly as possible after the pubs close or the club closes. Now, as mentioned in Mr. Bradley's report, after some serious and high-profile incidents in Newport, a multi-agency approach resulted in, which involved the council, resulted in a new taxi rank and bus stop location at High Street, Newport, outside here. This was to help encourage people leaving nearby licensed premises to disperse quickly out of town. It offered them an opportunity to get straight in the taxi from the premises. So the last thing the authorities want is people coming back into the town centre and congregating at fast food outlets, which historically do cause drunk people to congregate. And again, simple bit of maths, close proximity of drunk people late at night will result in increased violence. That happens everywhere. It's simply when people are caused to remain and linger, there will be problems. Now, Mr. has suggested, I believe, that there's another fast food outlet called Bite Size at St. James Square, Newport, which currently has a license to be open until 5 o'clock in the morning. Now, what I would say on that is every application needs to be judged on its own merits. And there are differences between the two premises. Firstly, the late license at Bite Size was obtained some years ago, I'm informed, and would unlikely to have been supported at the current time. That said, it is in a better location, it has a wide pedestrian area, and most importantly, has immediate council CCTV coverage, which provides early observations of crowding problems, so police, let's say, are able to inform and respond. I'll just mention there that the mention of the CCTV, nice system in place, that wouldn't have the ability to, as always, retrospective use, it wouldn't have the ability to be monitored and communicate with the authorities. There's some problems emerging if you can get police down there. So,
that's passive.
Yes. So, looking at Newport itself, it's positioned in St. James Street, next door to a pub, as mentioned, George Inn, close to 130. It is in very close proximity of the nearby taxi rank and bus station, the main bus station, So we believe that it is likely to encourage people to remain in town rather than make a swift exit via nearby taxis and buses. Would be a point for you to consider that the point made regarding this would split the people who want to eat is a possibility. Mm-hmm. It's also a possibility that the more late night eateries that are in place, the more people come into town to use those facilities. My experience of the nighttime economy, I've worked in licensing for many years, is that the more premises you have, the more people who come to use those facilities. I appreciate if you may wish to take a view on that. Now, in terms of the premises, SIA staffing, I think there's some agreement over there being SIA staffing. On a personal level, I would just say it's essential, first of all, to have SIA security staff outside managing a queue. That said, I would never ever recommend a single SIA staff member. It doesn't matter how big or strong you are. It's a very lonesome place to be standing on your own, managing a crowd of people, and when a problem emerges, when you are on your own, you are not in the driving seat. It's just a thought for you to consider that, you know, from our point of view, we never recommend alone security person.
But would you also recommend two? Is usually the procedure?
We always say there should be two or more. Because it's that person, just because they're trained to some extent, they become a risk themselves. I'll just mention as well, I've read through the report, Mr. Leah said that he would not serve drunk and problematic people in his application. Now, my guess is that most people who are looking at the 5 o'clock application into those early hours, beyond 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, most of them are well built. So that's my, my experience saying that. And I think his solution is to close the serving hatch, which would possibly just leave the SIA man or woman outside. But the question then would be, who's left to deal with the problem that's created by the shop being open? I don't think that's a solution for managing issues within the nighttime economy. It is, on a positive note, it is mentioned that there are several conditions that are agreed by PC Bradley and Mr. Neer. And when you consider this matter, I'd urge you to certainly ensure those conditions remain. They're listed, I think, in Appendix 2 of the police fund law. You'll need to simply determine if you feel new pots should close at a later time, or if the risk is too great to close too late, too great to customers, too great to security staff, or potentially the premises staff. I've mentioned about when the SIA staff is certainly a consideration for me, it's a concern. I'd also mention the fact that only last month the subcommittee refused a couple of temporary event notices.
Yes, that is correct.
To the premises, seeking trading until 5 o'clock in the morning. I appreciate this is a full premises license application, but hopefully there will be some consistency in that approach today. I think finishing up, the police are confident that a 1:30 a.m. terminal hour on Fridays, Saturdays, and maybe some key nights throughout the year, Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, festival, along with the suggested conditions regarding SIA staff, is a reasonable compromise for this application. We believe that the terminal hour Sunday through to Thursday would be midnight, again, for yourselves to consider. PC Bradley has listed some incidents linked to the nighttime economy in the bundle. Hopefully these have evidence that people who drink into the early hours find themselves in close proximity to others are at greater risk of getting involved in violence and disorder. Understating the obvious that the incidents, let's say, at a bus station don't occur during the daytime, they occur at night because people are intoxicated. Please, we are confident if the suggested times and measures that Priestley Bradley has put forward are determined, they will provide a reasonable compromise between balancing the risks of crime and disorder with Mr. Myers' aim to make an additional income from his business. So hopefully it's not a case of here's the police position, here's Mr. Myers, let's find a place in the middle. I go back to Walter and give him what's the right fit for Newport and the right fit for promoting the licensing objectives. And that's all I have to say. Thank you, Chair.
I'm very comprehensive for the court, please. Thank you. Are there any questions from the Council's here?
It appears from the papers we have and from what both the applicant and yourself have said that the essential areas of disagreement are in the extended opening hours beyond, say, 2 o'clock, which has been suggested to 5, and times and numbers of security staff that might be needed. And it seems to me that's the essence of the case we're looking at. So if I can swap for a moment back to the advocate or Mr. Phillips. Clearly, when I occasionally have been in Newport that late at night, not the preferred option, I mean, so bloody big around in the summer, and it's as dead as a dodo in the winter. Clearly, Mr. Mears is a businessman, and I'm just wondering, given that if you're going to have a chef and a server, how much trade there is between 2 o'clock and 5 o'clock, if you justify being open in the first place. I know that is a commercial choice, but it seems to me that particularly most of the year, that's not going to be a viable choice. That's the issue on animals. On the security staff, I think there's a disagreement on when the security staff should start and how many. So is the clarity from my point of view, the applicant saying one member of staff, and you're suggesting two? Is that the essence?
Councillor, I'm making that observation. I appreciate in previous conversations, I think the Peace President has written security staff, which not said one, has not said two. My observation today, being the person being asked to come along to present for a police case, is it's an open window for yourselves to consider what's best, and I just wanted to put in the pot that you can decide on something completely different to what each of us say. But I just wanted to throw in there that when considering security staff, it's generally the case that it's not safe. Is that a safe place for one person to be, those out at that location, even security staff member? I would just like you to be aware of that.
Thank you. Thank
you.
Just one observation, really. I think obviously the times of opening are an area of contention here. And I think what's relevant with that is police have actually put in the times of the last buses. And I think bearing in mind the close proximity of the premises to the last buses, that's something that I think I will be taking into consideration regarding the extension of the opening, because I think that's a very significant
thank you, Chairman. I wanted to know your question, Councillor, because it's not the last question. Normally, I'll just see what you're asking. So, that's absolutely fine. One point I just wanted to pick up on, which expands on Councillor Hutchinson's point, is that in the police's submission, you'll note on page B39 that the condition that the police have asked to be attached to the premises. That's B39 of the report. report, is at least one SIA registered door supervisor shall be present, and I've gone through the rest, but it does go on. And I think I'm correct in saying to PC Pearce, am I, that it's merely your recommendation that in interpreting that condition, the operator, if it were applied, your recommendation would have two, but that the police's submissions are at least one.
I accept the point there, what PC Bannon's written. I'm just making the point that you have the choice, and now you have the information.
Absolutely.
You consider that to be inappropriate, then obviously decide on the number you wish.
Thank you very much. One other point I just wanted to come in on is the mention of the temporary event notice that was determined by this committee. And I say it's probably for Councillor Andre's benefit more than anything else, but I think Councillor Hutchinson, you were here when we dealt with that. Which was, in dealing with a temporary event notice, because of the statutory regime that we're under, Mr. Meir didn't benefit at that time from a licence at the premises. And in the absence of a licence at the premises, the statutory regime says that you can't then condition a temporary event notice. Whereas this application that is before you, you can properly condition. And I think that's the, from my perspective, in terms of my legal advice, that's the fundamental difference, is that under what we dealt with before, we can't condition. If it did have a licence, you could draw conditions through. Unfortunately, at the time, Mr. Meir didn't have a licence at the time. Now that we have the application before you, you can condition that. And then it's just one last point that, again, is something Councillor Hutchinson picked up on, which I just want to be absolutely clear on. If I could ask PC Pearce very briefly, again, B39, what essentially the committee being asked to consider is a recommendation from the police that Sunday through Thursday there's a terminus, or if you like, the licence of activities shall be permitted between 11 o'clock and midnight, and then Friday through to Saturday, but in effect that was early Sunday morning, we're looking at 11 o'clock, 2300 until 01:30. The report does go on there to mention the a possible later finish time of 2 o'clock, and certainly there's mention of that on page B35 of the report, where in the Hampshire Constabulary's submissions it says that, and I take it, do correct me if I'm wrong, please, this, a further suggestion of an operating until 2 o'clock was also refused. I take it that's the police suggesting to Mr. Meir that there's a terminus at 2 o'clock.
As I understand, the mediation, the engagement prior to this hearing, to try to reach resolution, I spoke with PC Bradley about this, PC Bradley wanted to a certain time on 30, and in a bid to try to make a compromise, I think, went to let's agree that's at 2 o'clock. But then when the representation is submitted, it's back to 1:30. That's the actual request.
Okay, and your comment then, if I can, in relation to the difference then between the 1:30 and 2 o'clock finish, because on page B40 we go on to say a later finish time of 2 o'clock on Fridays and Saturdays will still allow everyone's time to get through before the last buses to each town, but the risk of commonness or an associated behaviour would be higher. And I suppose that's your submission, is it, on that specific point?
I think the compromise there, I try not to go into the detail about the buses because it was in the report, but it's nicely written out by PC Bradley that kind of makes you visualise the buses that are on, people are stuck in town.
Yeah.
On the last bus, will that cause stacks of people on one bus? What problems is that going to cause? It's a good visualisation, but I think it's as simple as we're back to 1:30 because that's the desirable option, particularly linked to buses. But I think PC Bradley in communication was willing to give that bit if agreement could be reached, but obviously it couldn't, so we're back to 1:30 is a better option.
Thank you. I'm grateful for that clarification. I hope that helps in the piece.
Thank you, Mr. Barr, and thank you, Mr. Pearce. I would remind the members of the bench that each application is different with its own merits.
Yeah.
There were certain things that you brought up, Mr. Pearce, which I was very impressed with your report. I did hear, and it is very apparent to me that each case must be taken to its own merits on the basis of one of the points that we've given up, I'm sure there's a note. You'll notice on your papers, we have other person as a paper, Appendix D. I'm going to ask this study to just run through that because we don't have the present, but it is ready.
Thank you, Chairman. No, it's only, I'm absolutely sure members have done so, but it's only to provide members with a chance, if they haven't done so, to read the report, read the representations on Appendix D. I assume it's for the moment, but yeah, that's fine, Chairman. Thank you very much.
We're
eventually
in the family, right? Okay, do we have any further questions?
Please.
Yes, please. Yes.
Hearing what's been said about when other premises close and when buses stop running. And clearly the issue between objectors and the applicant, ignoring for a moment the security issues, is the timing of opening. I wonder what the rationale is for an extended time of opening from, say, beyond 2 o'clock till 5 a.m. I can't personally see
it. But you'll have an opportunity to work when you sum up to listen to what the bench is saying, and then David Phillips, you will be able to bring across those points when you sum up. Any further questions? Right, it's the reverse order now, responsible authorities. Please, Pearce, would you like to sum up, please?
Thank you, Chairman. I think all I have to add, because I think I've pretty much covered the points I wish to cover, is that ultimately these decisions are about you deciding, you as the licensing subcommittee, deciding how you want your town to look late at night. It's you that determines what type of town centre you want. If you want a full-on vibrant nighttime economy, and if so, is there an infrastructure to support that safely, or if you need to tailor it to perhaps a more moderate degree. I would say be cautious of the window opening. One premises, another premises gets an opportunity. The worst can open the window for many, and suddenly we have a very different nighttime economy set up without an infrastructure to support it. So be cautious of that, is what I would say. But I have nothing else to say to you. Thank you
very much. Other persons, I think I can sum up for that in relation to the some appendix team we've read those. Responsible authorities would they sum up these.
It's the
applicant now. Would you like to sum up, sir?
Sorry, thank you for that. I've taken on board exactly that what PC Desi Pearce has said regarding the situations with timings, the two questions that were asked regarding the buses, which end at 3 o'clock, and of course the train till 5 a.m. in the morning for the reason for that. Of course, the point is, if the premises was to close at 1:30 and the lights of the George, which is next door, was closing at 1:30, then it defeats the object, because if they're coming at the pub at 1:30, they're not going to be able to buy food at 1:30 because the premises is going to be closed. So again, they're going to be forced to go to their only other place in town, which is Mr. James Square. That's when I came to the fact of being able to put two outlets that it may just disperse people in separate ways a bit more easily. To start a trend of opening lots of outlets, putting forward planning permissions for new serving times, I totally understand and agree it would start a trend that perhaps nobody would want. And it's definitely not the way to go forward. But what I am saying is I can see a clear view of the 3 a.m. buses. And it does make sense, which I did advise Mr. Mead, it was a good idea that maybe to push the hours forward, not till 5 a.m., but push it from 1:30 till 3 a.m. reason for that, you are going to be able to take the passenger train from your local pubs, which have those licences of 1:30, those that which finish at 3 a.m, then you don't want to entice them back into town. We know that the one outlet already entices people back into town because that's why it's open until 5 a.m. So he's taking that train. It is happening. And it's been studied, and we know that there's been a lot of issues regarding nuisance, public nuisance, and perhaps the assault on people passing by. So, in reflect of that, I would actually advise now, specifically, that it would be reduced from 5 a.m. and that you would consider 3 a.m. So that he's not taking the train from nightclubs, which are outside the town, enticing them back into town, and then, of course, missing buses, which is 3 a.m. So giving that chance to still be able to get passing trade from the local licensees, which end at 11:30 or 1:30 in the morning. So at least is able to run alongside with that other food outlet, but of course finish before that other food outlet, because theirs is still 5 a.m. On the conditions of two security, I personally don't believe that it would be fair to put forward that two security guards would be needed on the premises at that time of the morning. We are talking a food chain, we're not talking alcohol. Yes, they've had alcohol from the premises prior, but that is no difference to the one that's in place in the square already until 5 a.m. And they're taking all the people from the nightclubs and from the pubs at their premises. And that person only has one security, and I believe his security is from 1:30 in the morning. So I don't know why that differs. To have security on this premises from a fooding act from 11 o'clock, where probably 99% of the food chain premises on the island do not have security at 11 o'clock at night. It's not to cut corners. It's basically to see a clear view of costs, whether it's feasible to even have the license in the first place if you've got to pay out for all these people. And I think if extra special care is taken in the security system, there's even an option that that security system can be live fed to database companies, which, as we are aware, does work. They get a live feed and can report that even if the licensee of that premises doesn't have time or can't even get to the telephone to make that emergency call. So there are those opportunities to make those cameras live to the private sector. And on that case, that's why I would ask that you would consider the 3 o'clock, not the 1:30, to give a chance at least to get some of that customers they leave your standard licensing pubs, either 11:30 or 1:30 in the morning. And that allows room for people to get onto those buses at 3 a.m. and be out of the town. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Baxter, would you like to sum up, please?
Okay. Yeah, 3 points to mention. As Ben mentioned earlier, the temporary amendments is which were refused a little while ago. Just to remind the committee that just because they were refused, that actually those decisions should not form part of the consideration of this application. Obviously, conditions can be added to this license should it be granted in whatever form to try and address concerns raised with the temporary amendments. That opportunity wasn't there. The mention of the SIA staff. One thing that the subcommittee could possibly consider would be maybe a risk-assessed based sort of document. Generally, if Mr. Meir decided to have one SIA on, you may consider a condition of the licence which could require the applicant to risk-assess the need for more than one SIA, for example, certain times of the festival, or maybe should the licence be granted from historic experience of the business operating. So he may have a better idea of when times of the year, maybe times of the evening, when more than one SIA may be required, and that should be sort of based upon a risk assess sort of documentation. Earlier on there was discussion with regards to the possibility of a trial period for the licence. Just to let the subcommittee know that obviously a trial period as a condition on the licence isn't possible. Mm-hmm. However, you could time limit the licence for a particular period of time. If that was decided, the applicant would obviously need to reapply for the licence just before or once that period had expired. So just to clarify that. One reason why the applicant believes the licence should be granted is that there are already premises that have similar trading hours within the vicinity of the premises. However, as you've mentioned, each application must be considered on its own merits, so just a reminder of that. Any conditions attached to the licence must be relevant and tailored to the individual type, location and characteristics of the premises concerned. This is not to say that Mr. Mir should not be granted the licence for the types and activities that he's proposing, but in the same sense the licence shouldn't automatically be granted due to other premises having the same conditions. Please state that by permitting the premises to operate past 01:30 hours, there is a potential for an increase in crime disorder within the town centre surrounding the premises, as those wishing to purchase food from the premises may not be there if the premises was not operating. It has also been mentioned that persons that may wish to travel to other towns via public transport may not be able to do so due to their missing public transport as the bus, as they will be attempting to purchase food from the premises instead, or would not have time to consume the food before public transport departs. Persons purchasing food from the premises may not be intending to use public transport, as they may live within the vicinity of the town centre, and walking near the premises may be their natural route home. Therefore, public transportation would not be an issue. So that's one thing the subcommittee needs to consider. And the subcommittee must also be aware that the determination of the trading times, the activities and the conditions that appear on a premises licence cannot seek to manage the behaviour of customers once they are beyond the direct management of the licence holder and their staff. Although the management staff must look to control and have an impact on the behaviour of customers in the immediate vicinity of the premises, once customers are outside of the premises vicinity, such individuals are responsible for their own behaviour and actions. So just to summarise that, the subcommittee must consider whether they believe the concerns raised by the police and persons are likely outcomes of the grant of the licence, and the options available to you are to grant the licence as per application with the conditions that have been agreed with the police, to grant the licence along with any modifications or additional conditions you feel appropriate, or to reject the application.
Thank you, Mr. Hatcher. We will now retire and make a decision.